Good to be with you all this morning who remembered the time change. And for those of you who didn't, it's good that you're with us as well. And I know a number of people aren't feeling well, so we'll pray for them before we get started. Some of those are in my family, and Jen sends her greetings, and really, she says, it's killing me having to watch this online. I wish I could be there with you all. So, but let's open in prayer, and we'll get started. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you for this time together this morning in your presence, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Word, and Lord, with the fellowship of other believers here. And we love you, and we love this, and we love what you're building, and we love what you're doing. And we do lift up those who are ill this morning. Father, we just speak healing to their bodies now in Jesus' name. Complete peace and restoration and wellness, Lord, even now as they're hearing this. And Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time together to learn and hear from you. And so we ask you for understanding. We ask you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall on this place and for those listening from home. And Lord, we love you, and we're so thankful for our time here in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to bounce around a lot in there. I was thinking about, you know, next month, we adopted our son Andrew from Bulgaria 11 years ago, and next month it will be 11 years ago to the day that we met him and our first time seeing him. And what they do in Bulgaria is they do two separate trips. You go one trip and it's all play, but it's just to meet the child, to say, yes, we do want to adopt them. And it's 5 days of just fun, and we had this red backpack, and we'd show up every day, and every day there's a new toy that came out of the magic red backpack. So it's just lots of playing. But for us, I don't have time to go into it all, but God had just done a miraculous work with finances and just other amazing things that we saw happen, to where we knew he was ours, and we met him and fell head over heels in love with him, realizing that we only had a week, and then there's going to be this 6-month window of time where we would have to leave him. And so the end of that week came, and if you want to understand the anguish that we were under, imagine leaving your child on the other side of the ocean with strangers. That's what we were feeling towards him. And I shared this a couple weeks ago about how I was in such a place just praying to the Lord. I said, God, I want him to know the fires of my heart, my devotion to him, how committed I am, that this wasn't just a flash in the pan, but I am coming back. I'm going to fulfill all my promises to him. He has an identity and a hope and a future with us. And the Lord's response to me was, son, that's why I've given you the Holy Spirit. And it was such an eye-opening experience to me to understand, you know, we live in this in-between time between the resurrection and his return. And some days things don't feel any different. And even though we know we've got this identity and a hope and a future, and even though we know he's done all these wonderful things for us, sometimes the disappointment, the hurt, the distraction, they just all overwhelm us. But he's given us his Spirit to comfort us, to remind us, to let us know, no, I'm sincere in this, I'm coming back, I'm going to fulfill everything I promise to you. But not only has he given us his Spirit, but he's also placed us in a family. He's given us a body and then given gifts to that family as well for this in-between time. And during this window of time between when we met him and when we picked him up, we met him in April and picked him up in October, but his birthday was in July, right smack in the middle of the whole thing. And so we asked our translator, we said, if we sent a gift or money to the agency, would they bring him a gift for his birthday? She said, no, they won't do it. She goes, but send me the money. And so we sent her the money and a note, and she bought a small gift and a card, and then wrote our note in Bulgarian in the card. And I remember she sent us an email the day that she brought it to him and said that when he saw her, he got excited because he remembered, and immediately he looked around behind her looking for mom and dad, which blessed us so much. And so she read him the note that we had written, and then she said, mommy and daddy love you very much. And he gave a very typical Santor response. He said, I know. Why wouldn't they, right? So anyway, But that's when we talk about, right now we're going through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about what the gifts are for, why we believe they're for today, it's because we're living in this in-between time. where we need to be reminded, where we need to know we're on the Father's heart, we're on the Father's mind. He loves us. He cares for us. He's got a plan and a purpose. And even though maybe you got up today and it felt like every other day, and maybe there's something weighing on you, you're not far from the Father's mind, and he wants you to remember this. And so he's given us members of the body, family members, to come and deliver his word and his heart to us. Let me give another example. And this is just from a year ago, just as COVID was all breaking loose. I work during the week. I'm a vendor for local dealerships. And as all this was just letting, everything's getting canceled and everybody's panicking, jobs, and my business depends on people being able to make money so they can spend money. So I'm hearing people lose their jobs, and even other vendors in other cities that we lived at, they were showing up to their accounts and they're saying, you know what, we're just releasing all our vendors right now for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Just go home and take a break until all this settles down. And so I'm like, oh, here it comes. It's coming. This is going to be really bad. And I found myself giving way to fear in the midst of a situation and a circumstance. I remember one day, it was just as the Georgia governor was announcing the shelter-in-place order, I was talking with Jen all day on the phone, and we're just wrestling through this, and on my ride home, I'm wrestling through this, trying to grasp for any measure of faith I can stand on, and I get home, and I open the mailbox, and there's a $200 check. I didn't have a $200 need, and in light of losing my livelihood, $200 was barely a drop in the bucket. But as soon as I opened that up, I heard the word of the Lord. It says, I know your needs before you even ask. And that was it. It was done. It was settled. We live in this in-between time. And there's fears and hurts and disappointments and discouragements and distractions that gnaw on us, the cares of this world and the love of money. But God has given us his Spirit, he's given us his body, and he's given the body the gifts of the Holy Spirit for our encouragement, for our edification, for our strengthening, for this in-between time. This is why we believe, as we talked about last week, that the gifts are for today. Therefore, the edification, the encouragement, the strengthening of the body. And this is why the gifts are to serve the body. They're to be done in love for the body. We carry the Father's heart for his children, for his church, through the gifts. And the problem we run into in gifts isn't that there are gifts. The problem we run into is when we step in the way and begin to use the gifts for manipulation or for our own self-promotion. Can you imagine how ridiculous, how just repulsive it would be if our translator suddenly made that whole thing about herself and the wonderful job she did? No, this is about the Father's heart for his Son. That's the heart of the gifts and where we're at today. So we can understand perhaps how upsetting it is when we see the gift neglected sometimes. We hold them at arm's length, say, it gets messy, it's confusing, it's weird. Let's just not bother them, let's not touch them. No, we are dying for a word from Dad. We need some encouragement from our Father. We need an expression of his love. And at the same time, we it's upsetting to see abuses of the gift when we try and make the gifts about us or use them for our own purposes. We're going to hit on three. Last week, we hit on prophecy. This week, I'm going to talk about the gift of tongues and interpretation. And just as soon as you say that, everybody kind of, there's a little inside just about everyone, because we all have stories. We all have baggage. We all have a background. And let's admit it, the gift of tongues, it's weird. It's weird. But weirdness isn't the basis for us believing or not believing. In fact, if you read through your Bible, you're going to find that there are a lot of weird things that happen. At the beginning of the story, there's a talking snake. Moses' staff turns into a serpent. And then it eats other serpents that were originally staffs, right? Let's not talk about what the Nephilim. Somehow the sons of God went in with the daughters of men and made this giant race. Weird stuff. Axe heads float. Weird stuff. This one shook me up. But one day there are there's this man, and he had passed away, and his group of friends were going to bury him. But as they were about to bury him, some marauders came, so they panicked, and they threw his body into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as his body hit Elisha's body's bones, that man was resurrected. Weird. Let's not forget the virgin birth. Let's not forget money in the mouth of a fish. Let's not forget, we sang about it today, when Christ died, other graves were open and people were resurrected. Weird stuff all the time. And so really, in light of all that, the idea that you would be filled with the Spirit of the living God and speak in a language you never knew, not that big of a stretch, kind of par for the course. But even if you're going to say tongues are weird, let's stay away from them, you've got a lot of other things you've got to work through as well if you're going to own Christianity as your faith. But tongues are weird, and I get it, which is why we've said over the past few weeks, and I say it again, your questions are welcome. We had to wrestle through these things for ourselves, and we welcome you to join us in working through and working with the Scripture to understand these things. But I remember the first time even hearing about tongues, it was explained to me in this way: tongues are a gift to missionaries to help them learn new languages. Okay. I didn't know enough the Bible to even refute that, but it sounded like it would be helpful. I'm getting feedback somewhere. Are you okay? You got it. All right. One time I was in youth group, and my youth pastor said, I was at a Southern Baptist church, and my youth pastor said, he said, tongues aren't any big deal. I speak in tongues all the time. 6 years of youth ministry, that's the only thing he ever said. I was like, what do you mean by that? This has been presented as this huge, weird, mystical thing, and then you're going to drop a bomb on me like that and then not say anything else? I was at another church. We were in a Sunday school class, and I won't say we were completely innocent. There may have been some mischievousness in us, but we were genuinely curious, but we absolutely frustrated our Sunday school teacher to the point where she said, hang on, and she ran out of the room, grabbed the senior pastor, and brought him back in to try and answer our questions. But the thing I remember he said, I've heard people say sometimes that if you sing a song, and the song really ministers to people, like that's a tongue. And I was a young teenager, but even then, you know, part of the problem was that they asked me to keep reading the Bible. And I would read the Bible, and I would know somehow this doesn't line up with what this is saying. What you're telling me just doesn't seem like this is what Paul's talking about in the gift of tongues. And so I understand there's a lot of just weird, odd, sometimes unbiblical stuff out there about the gift of tongues. But my goal today is perhaps even that we would lower our guard just a little bit to look into the Word of God to see what it actually has to say about the gift of tongues. In fact, maybe some of you here may need to repent from realizing, you know what, I've based everything I believe on what man has said, and I've held the gift of tongues at arm's length. I've even spoken ill of it. But God says it's a gift from His Holy Spirit. Paul says we're to earnestly desire it. Paul doesn't, at the end, where we'll get to today, says, I don't forbid the speaking of tongues. I speak in tongues more than all of you and wish that all of you would speak in tongues. There's something here for us. Francis Chan, a number of years ago, you can go on the Kansas City IHOP's website and see this message, but he was actually invited to speak at their One Thing event, which was amazing because he comes from a sphere, and Mike Bickle, that usually they don't like to talk to each other much, and he got some flack actually for going to this event. But he shows up, he was so humble, he said, you know, I'm here and I'm seeing young people who love Jesus and are eager for His return. I don't understand what the problem is. Can I just say I love Mike Bickle? But at the end of the event, he's calling people into prayer, and he says this. He says, guys, listen, I don't speak in tongues. Would it be okay if I prayed with you? He said, I believe God's Word says that it's a good gift, and I should desire it, and I've asked Him for it, but I haven't received it yet. This isn't some fringe nut job, you know, saying, you got to speak in tongues. This is Francis Chan. John Piper has a very similar statement about it as well. He said, I've asked the Lord for the gift of tongues. His Word says it's a good thing and I should desire it. So I've asked Him for it. I haven't received it yet, but I've asked Him for it. Again, my point is this, is that Paul tells us, he says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be unaware. I want you to be informed from the Word of God so that you know how to approach this thing biblically. Not from man's ideas or man's trying to wrangle himself around this so he doesn't have to deal with it. What does God's Word say? What does God's Word call us into? What faith are we not expressing that Paul says you should have? All right, so what is the gift of tongues? We're going to start in the book of Acts at Pentecost. All right, so this group of disciples, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is every time we see tongues mentioned in Acts, it's always connected with somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is at this time of Pentecost, Jews from all over the known world had returned to Jerusalem for this feast. So there now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. There's a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" So as far as the idea this is supposed to help missionaries, these men were completely untrained to everyone around. They're saying they're Galileans. They shouldn't know our language. But something happened. The Spirit filled them and empowered them, gave them a supernatural utterance, gave them a language, an earthly language that they never knew before. To all those around, there's no reason why they should know these languages, but the Holy Spirit empowered them to speak in these tongues. In this situation, it's an earthly tongue, but Paul also speaks of tongues of angels, or what some refer to as a heavenly language. But what were they saying? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This wasn't just gibberish. They weren't just making something up. They didn't just feel excited and just start letting their lips run. But what they were speaking, what was given to them by the Holy Spirit, the utterance that was given to them was praise. It was declaring the mighty works of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he says, if someone speaks in a tongue, they are speaking mysteries to God. This isn't just a yabba-dabba-do, whatever, out of our mouth. There's actually praise going forth from the tongue. In Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to a Gentile named Cornelius' house, and while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Now, whenever tongues is mentioned in Acts, it's connected with being filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me clarify, it is not the evidence for being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it is and evidence for being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other places, we see people prophesying or preaching the Word of God with boldness, but it is an evidence. And here we see it linked with declaring the works of God or extolling God, praising God. And then if you look in 1 Corinthians 14, as Paul is writing, beginning in verse 2, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What will I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying?" Paul connects the gift of tongues with prayer, praise, with thanksgiving, with declaring the wonders of God. You are not just letting your tongue fly with whatever it says. There is a spiritual or earthly language given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit for prayer, praise, singing, thanksgiving, claiming the mighty works of God. This is what the gift of tongue is, and it's given to us by the Holy Spirit. But what does the gift of tongues accomplish? Paul says this in 14:2. We'll reread some of these things and point out different aspects of them. "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself." There's an edification of ourselves that happens when we pray, sing, give thanks, proclaim in the Spirit or in a tongue. We're uttering mysteries in the Spirit to God. Now think about this. If somebody comes up and gives a testimony about God's healing, his power, his deliverance, his salvation, his working of miracles, if I were to say that to you in English, you would come away and say, "Man, that's so amazing, that's so powerful, God's awesome, he's still at work today." How much more are you edified when by the Spirit of God you utter mysteries of God, declaring the wonders of God, testifying to your spirit of all that God is, giving praise and thanksgiving for God? How much more now by the Spirit are you edified and strengthened and built up in your inner man because of the gift of tongues? That's what it accomplishes in us. Some people ask, do I have to pray in tongues? Is it required? Well, Paul, on the one hand, there's some tension here. Because Paul says, not all speak in tongues. At the same time, he said, I would that you all speak in tongues. If we sometimes people say, you have to speak in tongues. And that kind of gets dismissed sometimes as extreme, you know, Pentecostalism or something. At the same time, if I say, no, you don't have to speak in tongues, we kind of brush it off and dismiss it. Well, Paul says, earnestly desire. So we got to walk in this tension a little bit, but we have to understand that we're looking in Corinthians here at half of a conversation, and so we're kind of making some guesses, some educated guesses on Paul's response here in 1 Corinthians, and what we can understand from the things that he's expressing and highlighting to them, that most likely they were speaking in tongues whenever they felt like it. It was disruptive. Paul says this, he says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Paul actually seems to say that both of these things go hand in hand together, that they actually work off of each other, or that both are, prayer is prayer. I'm singing praise to God with my understanding. I'm singing praise to God in the spirit. I'm singing praise to God. I'm declaring his works with my understanding. I'm declaring his works in the spirit, but I'm declaring his works. Both are edifying, both build up. But I want to talk about the benefits of praying, singing, giving thanks in the spirit. Ever hear somebody say, like, I've got to check in my spirit about that? And sometimes people say, you know with your knower. What they're saying is, I can't put it together in my head, but my spirit man is, Or sometimes we'll hear somebody say, like, I have agreement with that in my spirit. My spirit bears witness with that. Over the past couple of weeks, somebody shared a word of prophecy, and then I was given one. And both times I said, you know what? My spirit bears witness with that. I have no idea what to do with it, but my spirit says that's of the Lord. There's something that your spirit knows, even though your mind can't comprehend it. Even though your mind can't put words around it. Your spirit says yes. Your spirit says amen. Your spirit says, that's not of the Lord. That's why I encourage you, in any message that you hear, if you feel that check in your spirit, listen to that. Even if you can't argue or out-debate what somebody is saying, if there's something that's unsettled in you, listen to that. Go to the Word and dig deeper into what's being said. We train people even in raising children, speak the Word of God to them, even when they're little infants and they can't articulate it back to you or can't even comprehend it, because you're not speaking it to their mind, you're speaking it to their spirit. Their spirit receives it. And you can pray in your understanding, you can pray with your mind, or you can pray with your spirit. And what I've found is that when I pray in the Spirit, I'm much more sensitive to those checks. I'm much more sensitive to those amens and those yeses. There are things sometimes I have no reason. It just happened, it just was said, I heard it. My spirit says yes. You know why you say amen during a message? It has nothing to do with gender. Yeah. I saw that story and, oh my goodness. Ever be embarrassed for somebody? Yeah. Anyway, amen does not mean attaboy preacher. Amen is prayer. Amen means so be it. Amen says yes. Amen says that is truth, and I want that truth to be a reality that I walk in, that I know. When you say amen, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what you're hearing from the Spirit. And your spirit says yes. And your spirit says amen. And your spirit says that's truth. And when we pray in the Spirit, our sensitivity to that, our awareness, our alertness to that grows. That's what Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Not only this, Jude says this, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God. There's something about tongues. I don't know how else to say it other than Jude said it best. We keep ourselves in that fiery love of the Father. Our hearts are alive to it, awake to it, alert to it, moved by it in a greater measure because we give ourselves to the gift of tongues. So do you have to pray in tongues? No. But I would earnestly desire that you would. I would that all of you would pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit at all times. It's such a blessing. There are times where I'm just walking across the parking lot at work, not thinking about anything spiritual, but I'm just praying in the Spirit. Because there's never a bad time to be edified. And right now, in the middle of a parking lot, I can be strengthened and built up. All right. Interpretation. It is not translation. Interpretation kind of mirrors what we said about prophecy last week, where if someone gives a tongue and there's an interpretation of it, it's carrying this idea with it more than a word-for-word translation. Paul says this, but if there is, and this is always what I hope we get through this part here. Sometimes I'll be asked, do you believe in tongues? And I'll say, well, yeah. And they're like, but with an interpretation, right? And it's always, I'll explain here, but you'll begin to understand, it feels kind of silly. This big debate that we've made. But Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14:28. It says, but if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God. What we believe here is that there is one gift of tongues, but it has two uses. One is for a personal, private time of prayer and edification and building ourselves up. If you hear someone, and you may during a time of worship here in our congregation or during one of our prayer meetings, you may hear someone speak in tongues. Do not rebuke them. Do not shut them down. Do not demand an interpretation from them. They're not talking to you. You're eavesdropping. Stop it. But we all know there's a difference between somebody talking to God in whatever language he's given them, earthly or heavenly, and then someone coming up to the front and addressing in a public fashion. Paul says, listen, if you're going to give an interpretation, there's no tongue, then by all means, stay in your seat and talk to God in your tongue, respectfully. But if you're going to come to the front, if you're going to share a word publicly, it's really nothing mystical. It's actually just kind of common sense. I don't know if anybody can speak any of the languages here, but let's just say Russian. If I come up and I share with you great, powerful, profound doctrinal truths in Russian, I'm the only one that gets benefited. I'm the only one that gets edified. I'm the only one that gets blessed. You get nothing. And so there is no 11th commandment, thou shalt not give a tongue without an interpretation. The problem is gifts are used to serve. The problem is gifts are used in love. The gifts are used for building up the body. All you've done is serve yourself. The great commandment that you violated is love others as you would have them love you. The great command that you violated is that you failed to serve the church, to edify, to build up, to love the church. Really, it's just been, for the most part, a gigantic waste of time. It's just common sense. If people don't understand what you're saying, they get nothing out of it. So we understand all of Paul's statements here saying, yeah, I'd rather speak five words of intelligible speech rather than 1,000 in a tongue because more people are blessed, more people are edified. So do you believe in tongues? Yes, and of course with an interpretation. No one can understand what you're saying without it. It's really not a complicated thing. I don't understand what we've been so divided about. But again, we're looking at the second half of a conversation here. And apparently the church at Corinth thought that they were something mighty and something to behold because, look, I've got the gift of tongues, everybody. And Paul says, big deal. Nobody got blessed by it. You've missed the whole point of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the church, they're to be used in love. They're to be used in service. They're to be used for building up and edifying the body. And when you've spoken in a tongue, big whoop. Nobody gets what you're saying. You're nothing special unless there's an interpretation. And then people are edified. Then people are built up. Then people are strengthened. So what's Paul's big point here? We see this at the end of 1 Corinthians 14. So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy. And do not forbid speaking in tongue, but all things should be done decently and in order. Right? So if somebody's given an announcement, not a good time to stand up and just speak out of tongue. Right? If we're in the middle of a message, we're going to do this in order. We have time of worship at the beginning. We have time of worship at the end. We welcome the gifts of the Holy Spirit in expression, that we welcome the gift of tongues, we welcome prophecy during those times, but it must be done in order. And Paul, just above that, in verse 27, gives the order, says, if any speak in a tongue, let there really only two or at most three in each in turn, and let someone interpret so that everybody's blessed by it. It's really not that complicated. I really don't understand what all of the divisiveness is over this. Paul is just saying, listen, the gift of tongues, it edifies you. You speak mysteries to God. It's praise, it's prayer, it's thanksgiving. It's a sign of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in you. It's just the overflow of praise and thanksgiving and wonder that God has filled you with. And when you give a tongue publicly, just make sure there's an interpretation so that everybody can be blessed and everybody can be encouraged by it. One quick thing before we get into some practical housekeeping issues. But some people said, well, I've heard that there are demonic tongues or false tongues. First of all, we don't see that anywhere in Scripture. The second thing is this, is that here's how the demonic works, is they work with what you give them. They don't operate because you go to your Father asking Him for His good gift. I took a power encounter course at TFC while we were there, and there's the professor was in deliverance ministry, and what he said, I found that 95% of the people who come to me for deliverance, and if they have the gift of tongues, 95% of the time, it's a false tongue, it's demonic tongue. And it was before I had a lot of this thing settled in my own heart. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've got a 95% chance of getting a demon, right? If I ask for this good gift from my Father. And what he was saying was 95% of the people who come to him looking for deliverance, they recognize that what they've experienced has been something else, but they didn't get the demon from asking God for a tongue. There was another opening somewhere else. They had given him a foothold, an unrepented sin, or a root of unforgiveness that they had opened themselves up to allow the devil to work his doing in that. But Jesus says, listen, if you ask your Father for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. Right? If you ask Him for a fish, He's not going to give you a snake or a scorpion, right? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, so does your Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. We have nothing to fear in asking the Father for the gift of tongues, for asking Him for a greater measure of His gifts to be in operation in us. If you're worried about having a false tongue, ask yourselves, like, do I hunger more for God? Because that's not the work of the enemy. Not am I perfect, but am I grieved over my own sinfulness? Because that's not the enemy. You see, these are longing for the things of God. He meets us with Himself. He meets us with His good gifts. As far as a false tongue, whether you're making it up or not, I'll just give you my own testimony, which is I don't have time for foolishness like that. What I found is that it's been very fruitful and very helpful in my life. But let's talk about around here in our culture. So on a Sunday morning, as I said before, you may hear somebody speaking in tongues, praying to God, speaking mysteries in the Spirit. We're not going to ask them to stop. We encourage that. We welcome that. I'm encouraged by that. They're praying to themselves. The only thing we ask is, be aware of what's going on around you. Right? We raise our voices when the music gets louder, and we lower them when the music gets softer. So if there's a quiet point in the service, that's not the time to be shouting out in tongues. It's rude, right? And it's not sensitive to what the Spirit's doing in the moment. So be considerate. Be self-control, and we welcome that expression. That's why I sit up front, because I can pray in tongues a lot louder and I don't have to worry about bothering anybody else. So I just make sure the camera's back there. I don't think Kevin would do this, but I've been in meetings sometimes where it's been, the exhortation has been given, lift your voices in the Spirit. And I'm not offended by that. But again, being sensitive and being thoughtful to who we have is that not everybody speaks in tongues. And so with that exhortation, you've kind of left a lot of people out. But when the worship leader says, lift our voices to the Lord, by all means, lift your voices in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Give thanks in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Out loud in the Spirit. it's welcome and encouraged. But what about the public address? What if somebody came forward and got on the microphone and gave a word in a tongue? What would we do? We would wait. Because see, the beauty of the gifts is that they force us into humility. You know, prophets need teachers. Pastors need evangelists. Evangelists need pastors. Teachers need prophets. There's a tension there where we kind of need each other. You know, we've got, Tim does a fantastic job on the drums, but you can imagine if he started hitting a rhythm, playing a song he was hearing in his head, played it perfectly, and then said, name that tune. Well, you need other members of the team, other members of the body to fill in that melody so that we all can sing along with it. So God gives someone the gift of tongues, but you know what we need? We need interpretation. God places the gifts in the body. So if someone comes up and gives a word in a tongue and doesn't have an interpretation, by the way, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 says they should give it and pray that they may interpret. So sometimes they have the interpretation, but if they didn't, we would wait on the body. Because body, where is your faith? This person up here stepped out in faith to use their gift in hopes that the body would be built up and strengthened and encouraged. If there's an awkward silence, that's not their problem. They're not to be chastised. These aren't for stoning people, right? We're not going to run them out. We're not going to bring in church discipline on them. We're going to say, thank you for your faith. Thank you for being bold enough to step out. We need to grow in this. And we would wait for a word of interpretation. We would wait for prophetic utterance to come. And if nothing happened, we'd move on. Really okay. But we would thank them for their faithfulness. Sometimes in smaller gatherings, our engaged prayer nights, or even at the end of services where we do ministry times, you may hear somebody praying in the Holy Spirit over you. Don't get freaked out. Because it's better to have edified prayer than unedified prayer. What are they doing? Here's what it is with me, is that sometimes someone says, yeah, I need help in this area. I'm like, I'd have no idea what to pray for them. Place my hand on them, I begin to pray in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden a scripture verse will come to my mind. What to pray comes to my mind, my understanding, and I begin to pray that. It's just, I hate to use the word because we place such a big emphasis on the Holy Spirit as a person, but it's just that praying in the Spirit kind of just aligns us with Him, attunes us to His voice a little bit better. And again, if we're in those small group times and you hear people, if we're all praying together in the Spirit or all just lifting our voices, it's nothing to be offended at. We're all just praying, speaking mysteries to God in our spirit. We're all just edifying ourselves in a time of prayer or worship or praise. It's really not that big of a deal in the sense of which side of this do you fall on? Pray in your understanding if you've got a problem with it. It's okay. Paul did both. But he also says, earnestly desire this gift. My testimony is this. Came to an understanding that the gift of tongues was a good gift from the Holy Spirit. That was useful for building myself up. And so I took Paul at his word that we should earnestly desire this gift. And so I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and nothing happened. And then some older godly men said, well, Aaron, it's an act of faith. And so just like a little infant has to practice forming words, begin to open your mouth and begin to speak. Okay, all right. God, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I'm asking you for the gift of tongues. I receive the gift of tongues by faith. Here goes. It tick, muck, luck, buck, buck, tick, sick, duck. You know, and I'm just making consonants with my mouth for not even a minute. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is just silly. I'm just coming up trying to think of the next sound to make from my mouth. Forget it. But then I'd be convicted again. This is a gift from the Lord. It's for my edification. I'm praying mysteries in the Spirit. There's understanding and revelation that comes. And so, okay, God, I receive the gift of tongues. I've asked you for it. You said you'd give it to me. I'm going to begin to speak. Mick, tick, lick, sick. This is stupid. And then one day, I was at work. And I was backing a car into a parking space. And I literally just put my head back like this, my arm on the seat, and out flowed a language. Out flowed something I didn't have to think about. Out flowed something that just rolled off my tongue. Finished back in the car in the space. I got out of the car. I'm like, that was weird. What was that? And I found from that point forward, it just flowed. It wasn't anything I had to think about and what's the next thing I'm going to say and is this real or is this not? It was just an overflow of prayer, of praise, of thanksgiving to God. Sometimes I find it just bubbles up without me even thinking. I should pray in tongues for a little bit here. Right? I just walking across the kitchen. The blessing. I pray in the Spirit and I don't know what to pray because the Spirit intercedes for us and he's praying and I want to pray what the Spirit is praying. And I don't know that with this mind, but I know it here. Pray in the Spirit when I study the Word of God because I don't just want a head knowledge. I want a Spirit knowledge of what the Spirit is saying to his church from his Word. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. What is he using? What is he saying? How is he speaking? I want to get in step with that. And I use it during worship. Sometimes there's songs I don't like. I sing in the Spirit. Sometimes they just play instrumental music in between songs. What do? There's no words. I sing in the Spirit. I give thanks in the Spirit. I sing praise in the Spirit. I declare the mighty works of God. I extol God. I praise him. I pray. I give thanks in the Spirit. Jesus says the Father is looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the glory of the gift of tongues. It's a wonderful gift he's given to the church, and it's ours. It's ours to receive, it's ours to open, it's ours to use, and it's ours to neglect as well. We could have the worship team come forward.